Hello friends, welcome to today's Insights Conversation with Murali Krishnan Gopalakrishnan. Murali is the CEO of Ramaya Evolute and the founder CEO of Sounding Board Business Solutions. He has been associated with Tata Elxsi as its VP and Head Communications Division and with Saskia Network Engineering as its COO. He holds nearly three decades of association with semiconductors, embedded software and communication products and services industry. Today, we will discuss with Murali about 5G and the underlying challenges, opportunities, and its scope. So, Murali, welcome to our conversation today for the Insights column.
Thank you, Anamika. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Murali. So let us, Murali, start with first understanding about the present situation and how much are we prepared for 5G connection globally?
Okay, fine. So if you look at the statistics that is out there, we have about 800 telecom service providers or wireless service providers in the world, out of which about 150 claim that they have already rolled out or already started rolling out 5G. So that is, no one has really completely rolled out. There's no operator in the world which has really completely rolled out. And you know, we just got coverage like we do today in 4G. But there are 150 companies or operators which claim that they have rolled out. My guess is that some of that is a little hype because many of these operators also call the advanced 4G version, the LTE advanced, as 5G, okay, which is really not 5G. Okay, though it gives about 1 gigabit, 1 Gbps bandwidth, it is part of the 4G standard, not the 5G. So, but I guess for marketing, it's called as 5G by some people. So I'm not very sure out of the 150, how many are that and how many are the actual real 5G. So some people have really started rolling out. You can see, services, especially in the US and other places, not fully covered, but in, I guess, urban centers and all that. Japan has rolled out a bit. South Korea has rolled out a bit. Italy has tried. So I think there are patches where it is getting rolled out. So that is as far as the rollout is concerned, right? The other part is how many handsets there are. So if you look at the phones that actually have 5G, there are a few, but all of them are very high-end phones. You know, it's not really penetrated into the lower end of the spectrum. So if you look at 5G, or 4G, you can buy a phone for maybe 2,000 or 3,000 rupees in India, and going all the way up to maybe 2 lakhs for an iPhone, or whatever, right? But today, if you look at the 5G phones, they are really at the top of the spectrum, not really at the at the bottom yet. So some higher end premium customers probably could afford it as of now. So that's what I would say in terms of the status of rollout.
Okay. So what are some of the challenges and opportunities that you foresee in the 5G industry, specifically globally, if we talk about, and then going deep into the India perspective, how is it happening in India?
Okay, yeah. So so let's look at, in general, globally, what is the advantages of using 5G? Let's look at the, technologically, what is a platform that it provides? You know, what is the advantages that it provides over the existing 4G spectrum, 4G technology? Number one, as usual, is speed. So, so every 2G to 3G to 4G to 5G, it's all, an upgradation of the speed that you can afford to have. So 5G is expected to give about 10 times as much bandwidth than 4G. So you could theoretically reach, 10 Gbps speed of download, but that's a theoretical limit. I mean, but I think you could probably have sustained 100 Mbps kind of, 100 or 200, hundreds of Mbps of communication. Whereas in, if you look at 4G, a few Mbps or maybe few tens of Mbps is what you can have today, right? So that is the first advantage that it gives. Second one is that it can support more subscribers or devices per unit area. So if you look at a square kilometer, how many subscribers or how many devices can it support? It can support about 100 times. Okay. So typically 4G will support about 10,000 subscribers per square kilometer, whereas LTE can support, let's say, 1 million. So it's much larger in terms of support. This really comes to help when you're talking about IoT, okay? Not when you're really talking about people. So, you know, so people don't congregate, you know, in that, in those large numbers normally, but, you know, if you look at IoT devices, you can have very, very dense areas. So if you look at a factory, it may have 1 million devices inside the factory, and the factory may not be even, you know, 1 kilometer in terms of 1 square kilometer. So, and all those devices may at some point get connected to wireless. So that's the advantage that 5G gives. You could have a very dense device population. So for example, if you look at a house today, maybe you have four people, and you know, you have four phones, but going forward, most of your devices may be connecting to IoT. So your routers are connecting, your laptops are connecting, your household devices like the, you know, the microwave and the fridge and the water, you know, dishwasher and everything is connecting. So if you look at all that, suddenly you have a order of magnitude larger number of devices from each home connecting to the network. So that can be supported by 5G. The third one is efficiency in spectrum, which is really something that is useful for operators, because what it means is that its technology can pack in more bits into every hertz of the spectrum. So per megahertz of spectrum, it can transmit more bits and reliably. And that is a great advantage for operator. It is also advantageous to consumers, because this should drive the prices down. Because, you know, if you have better efficiency, hopefully the prices should be better. So there should be a trickle-down effect on the consumers as well. The other one, which is really the most difficult one to implement as well, is been the latency. It's the latency of communication is reduced drastically in 5G. LTE has a theoretical minimum latency of about 25 milliseconds. So which basically means that if you're communicating between two devices, the minimum time it will take for the information to travel from one to the other is about 25 milliseconds. That's theoretical. Typically about 100 to 200 milliseconds is what it really normally takes, right? The theoretical limit for 5G is 1 millisecond. So that it could probably give you, you know, a 10 or less than 10 millisecond, you know, kind of latency in communication, which is very, very interesting and very, very useful, because it can spin off a lot of new technologies and new applications. You know, things like autonomous vehicle driving, you know, V2X and all that. So vehicles could talk to each other and figure out where they are and, you know, decide what to do through the network, because the lag is very little. So you're getting instantaneous communication. You could play games better. You know, you'll have social games. You know, you have millions of people playing, and you know, the delay could be very, very limited. It's actually less than, you know, the response time of a human being, and 200 milliseconds is not less than the, you know, response time of a human being. So you could actually feel a delay, right? So the games don't become very effective. Whereas if it is intense, you know, 5 milliseconds or something, it can really give much better, you know, gaming experience. It could also start really high-tech healthcare, you know, technologies like remote surgery, for example. You could have a surgeon sitting in the US performing a surgery on a patient who's in India. So because the surgeon will be able to control an equipment, a robotic equipment, which is here, remotely. That would be really the, you know, the ultimate, I think, test of the technology, because it's mission critical and, you know, it's a life-saving thing. It can also go wrong, so you have to be highly, highly reliable in, you know, those kind of activities. So if something like that comes up, I think that, you know, 5G would be, I mean, it's a stated application of 5G. I don't really know in the next 4 or 5 years whether that's going to be, you know, reality or not, because that's a lot of technologies need to be come in place, you know, together to make that happen. So Otherwise, I think it's one of those really expected things to come, right? You know? So the dream kind of thing, you know, something like this to happen. And so this is mostly the thing. Okay, so there's one more advantage probably that if you're looking at IoT devices with very low power. With 5G, you should be able to use IoT devices which use very, very little power, which basically means that you can have a camera in your farm, you just install it and leave it there with no power connection, right? And it can survive there for maybe a few years. Unlike a phone, which you know today, you have to charge it every day. So, right? So it's trying to come out with a device which is very, very power efficient, and it can, you know, with a small battery, can survive for long. So that's the other advantage. So these, I would say, are the technical advantages that 5G provides. If you look at the other side, if you look at the business side, the advantages really are number one, that it gives a new, all these are a new platform. And if you have a innovative environment, all this is really, you know, a huge environment, you know, huge crucible for new innovation to come. Exactly like, you know, how 4G has changed our lives. You know, if you look at how we used to work, you know, before and how we are working now. Just imagine if, you know, COVID had struck us 10 years back, you know, how this, you know, all this could have happened. We, you know, work from home would not have been possible.
Sure.
Because we don't really have this kind of, you know, the bandwidth to connect and the video technologies and, you know, the conference calls technologies and all that stuff. So it just because it, you know, we had all this rolled out, you know, we are a bit lucky, I think. So I think once you roll out 5G, I think, you know, a lot more innovations can happen. You know, the way of working has changed because of an emergency, not really because of, you know, we decided to change our way of working. But then, you know, we could respond to a pandemic in a very, very productive way and, you know, continue our work and, you know, be productive as usual. Yeah.
Yes, obviously, like you mentioned, pandemic has actually brought the potential of technology upfront. And
yes,
we are leveraging it to the fullest without disrupting our, you can say, the professional life.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Murli, going forward, if what does 5G mean for consumers? And how is it going to impact the consumers, whether it is professionals, whether it is students, professional across healthcare, sectors like MSME, you can say the small owners of the businesses. So how is 5G going to impact them? Will there be any kind of a cost advantage that these people will be getting?
Yes, okay. I think definitely there would be a cost advantage. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at the communication that we have today, it's fairly cost effective. You know, I mean, the, you know, the wireless communication is quite cost effective. The cost really comes into picture when you're really looking at reliable, high bandwidth communication, right? So our internet bandwidths, which are coming to our homes, have not become much cheaper. I mean, they have become cheaper, but not like what has happened to wireless, right? Mm-hmm. Wireless has become really, really cheap. So if you look at wireless data about 5, 6, maybe 10 years back, what it used to cost and what it costs today, probably cost 1/100th of you know, what it used to cost. So the same thing is going to happen. So see, you would be able to do very high bandwidth communication at a affordable cost. So for example, you know, I mean, broadcasting or media, I think is going to be a huge you know, beneficiary of this. You should be able to do high quality, let's say 4K or 8K. Transmissions from right from your mobile phones anywhere. So it could make every citizen a journalist, or at least every journalist should be able to, you know, work from any part of the world and report on whatever is required in really high quality. So that is definitely one advantage that will come in. The Other thing is, I think if you look at things like businesses, just look at what happened to Indian businesses over the next, MSME, right, in the last maybe 10 years. So if LTE and, all this 4G and the digital, transformation was not there, where would we have been, during the pandemic in terms of financial transactions, right? So every small vendor today, if you look at maybe 5 years back, how many vendors, even reasonably large stores, offered you credit or debit card? In metros, maybe quite a lot, but in smaller towns, I don't think so. But today, real cash is not really required even for roadside vendors. I mean, you can have go to a coconut vendor or coconut water vendor on the roadside and use your phone to pay, pay the person, right? So, so the technology has evolved to a level where credit card was something which was used very, very prominently in Western countries, almost by everyone. So you could use it in a taxi, you could use it anywhere. We never got to that stage, but we leapfrogged one stage and, we went to the UPI and all that. And without a card, through our mobile, we're able to communicate and, do all our transactions. So this is what the ubiquitous nature of 4G and has enabled us to do. And of course, there are other things like the India Stack and all that. I mean, you need all that. But just the fact that this was there really made that happen. And having a platform which is, like 5G, which is at a much higher level, is going to enable, much more ability for, common small companies and common people to really communicate. An example could be AR, VR, So for example, today, if you look at how you view a match or a football match or a cricket match is through video, it's not direct video. But you could use an augmented reality or a virtual reality setup to view the same match. And you could do, permutation combinations, you could do simulations, you could do playbacks, you could, change what happened and play it again and see, how it would have changed. So possibilities are a lot more, right? So that's one. The other thing is, if you look at, being on the sports thing, for athletes, for example, training can become much more effective. The kind of value that video has brought into athletic training, right? So if you look at the Indian cricket, it has improved such a lot after the video analysis has come in. So people train looking at how they play and, what mistakes they're making and how do they improve and all that. 5G would take you to a level where you could, actually monitor each parameter on your body. You could monitor your electrolytic levels, you can monitor your BP or pulse rate or heart rate or various parameters, which can help you prevent injuries, for example, right? So there are a lot of training injuries that happen because you overtrain or you're doing something wrong, right? Which can be prevented if you're aware of, this is what is happening, and you're at this level. So the training coaching can improve tremendously, with all this IoT and other things like that. Other thing is, of course, gaming, right? So lots of possibility to create new sports in the virtual space. So you could have people playing same sports, but sitting from their, from their homes, you could be participating and playing games against each other. Third area is probably medical. Medical is again, today hospitals have lots of equipments. They invest a lot into equipments, and MRI costs, MRI equipment costs such a lot of money. Do they get actually used? For example, so suppose you have three MRI equipments in a large hospital, are all of them getting utilized full time? Or at what point do you really decide whether you want to buy one more, right? So you could track utilization of the equipments. You could track assets where they are, and all those things are extremely possible with 5G, because IoT is going to become a huge thing.
So what are some of the challenges when it comes to 5G? I see a huge potential there, but obviously when it comes to 5G, even consumers will be facing a problem when it comes to devices. Businesses will have their own set of challenges which they have to deal with. There will be a cost that they have to incur when it comes to infrastructure. So how, what are the challenges and how they are going to deal with these challenges?
Let's divide this into two parts. One is the challenges that an operator would face in rolling out the technology. Operator and the government together, you know, the government is also party to it because of the policy. And how consumers or enterprises who are users would be affected, challenges that they would face. Operators, okay, as far as government is concerned, I think the first major thing is to find the spectrum. 5G needs large chunks of spectrum for each operator. You need spectrum in the ranges of 100 megahertz for each operator. Today, if you see 4G and others, you give 5 megahertz and 10 megahertz and 20 megahertz. Here, you need really hundreds of megahertz. That is a big challenge. Government has to find the spectrum. They have to get it from whoever is using it today. But if you look at India, it will be defense. And so your defense is to clear the spectrum, they have to move elsewhere, then speed auctioned and licensed to operators. And and all this has to happen within a certain period of time so that everything happens nicely. If you look at it from the operator space, there are three, four major problems. One is that if you look at 4G or 3G, they had just one kind of spectrum. So spectrum usage was quite linear. You have one spectrum and you use that for everything. You use it for voice, you use it for data, you use it for everything, right? Whereas in 5G, usage of spectrum is sort of divided into three different things because it's so complex that, it's got very, very ambitious objectives. So you can't achieve these objectives with just one piece of spectrum. So you have one which will ensure you coverage. There's another which will ensure capacity. And the third one which will give you high throughput. So you have a 700 megahertz kind of spectrum which will give you coverage, which basically means that you can cover large areas. So each base station could cover a large geography. Second is capacity. So if you're in an urban center, you want a lot of people and you need capacity. So that's the second part of the spectrum at about three and a half megahertz. And the third one is high throughput. If you're looking at a stadium and where a lot of people are there and everybody's using video and all that stuff, then you need a very high throughput installation there, and that is at about 25 gigahertz. So operators are really rolling out in some sense three different networks. I mean, it's not three different networks technically, but you have to really, RF planning and all those things have to be done at three different levels. The other thing is that depending on the usage, depending on where this is getting rolled out, operator has to decide what they should prioritize. So if you're rolling out something near a stadium, then the application is high throughput and it should be something like that. And when you're rolling out in a, let's say, very remote area where there is not many people and not many high throughput activities, then you just use coverage. You could have an area where you need large coverage, but then there is a small factory where you need high throughput. So you have a combination of these two. So mix really dimensioning the network to looking at each of these pieces. That's a much more complex problem. Second thing is that technology has been evolving and standards have been evolving. Traditionally in 4G or actually even before 3G, 2G and all that, you tend to stick to one single network equipment vendor. So operator is going to buy equipment, you buy it from one vendor because otherwise they don't work together. So the standards have become much more prominent. So today you don't really need to buy a network from a single vendor. Also a lot of these technologies have gone into software. You don't really need to buy proprietary hardware. So significant part of the network today is sitting in in computers. So it's like a it's like a blade server. So it's you have a large cloud network sitting inside an operator where software is running to run the network. So that has improved things for them in the sense that it's much cheaper. They have much more choices and all that. It also has made things complex because you have more vendors. And if you have more vendors, you have to make sure that all of them interop. So, interoperation is extremely important, especially in new technologies. If it is 4G, you really don't have this problem because it's an old technology. You know that everybody would work with it. Yes. But as 5G, everybody is under development. And, you buy two things from two different vendors, and they may not really work together. So that's a huge problem that they have. And third one is, because of this, testing. So once you do all this, you put it all together, and then you have to test and religiously to make sure that everything is in place. So that's the operator side. From the consumer or enterprise side, the user side, I think the one, of course, now there is a device issue. Devices are not there yet. There are a few devices, but they're all very high priced premium devices. It'll take some time to really get into the for the prices to come down. So maybe in 2 years, you would probably start getting at a lower price. The other problem I think is there is that power usage is very high. So basically battery is a problem right now. So I think it will take some more time for the technology to stabilize on that side. Third could be that you're actually buying new technology, but you really don't have new applications as of now. So if you see, 4G today, the application that is touted as the biggest ones are things like remote surgery, IoT, things like autonomous cars. None of it is really going to be reality for some time. Okay, so at least not for 5 years. It's going to, in my opinion, it's probably going to be in 6G. Okay, so. So I normally say that every generation of technology is, hyped for, one or two applications, but that generation fails in that applications, but the next generation would take care of it. So if you look at 2G, 2G really talked about internet access, but it didn't really give a good internet access experience at all. For that, you had to use 3G. 3G got hyped for video, and it did not give any great video experience. So you had to have 5G, 4G, and 4G has given great video and all that stuff. So that's how it has moved across technologies. So all these new things which are getting hyped, in my opinion, most of it probably would be realized in 6G, not in 5G, at a at a common person level. So some of the deployments will happen, premium deployments will happen, maybe some test would happen, but things like remote surgery and all that, I think 6G probably is the time when it'll get it.
You mentioned, we just need to wait for one more generation to realize the benefits of 5G that it's promising now.
Yeah, I think so.
So Murali, while there is so much of investment, while there is so much of, you can say, manpower going into making 5G a reality, what are some of the keys to succeed this 5G proposition, and how can the providers maximize the 5G revenue, which is going to be a huge challenge for them actually?
So this is I don't think that question has been answered. Okay, so it's a very valid question at all levels, right? Basically, because 4G use case was very clear. How would 4G make money was very easy because operators ran out of spectrum for 3G. They did not have enough spectrum. So they could not add new services or new users, or the existing users were having quality issues because of the spectrum problems. So they needed more spectrum. And more spectrum came through 4G. And, immediately the revenue, everything, changed, right? It added more features as well. But apart from that, there was an immediate justification for investing in 4G in terms of financial investment. 5G, that's a little more remote. Okay, I think how is 5G going to bring in monies today? that's not very clear because we don't really have a spectrum bottleneck in most places today, not for 4G. Okay. There may be some remote places, but I don't know in some places in the world, but I don't think as of now, 4G spectrum is at a scarcity. It may become in some time, but not in the next few years. So now, once we have 5G rolled out, you may not get immediate revenues because of that. But what you're rolling out is a huge technology platform with a lot of possibilities. So if you're rolling it out in countries which are technologically savvy, which are innovative, which are business driven, very quickly I think applications will come out. Okay, so once just taking this Indian financial digitization example, right? So just look at how things have changed over from, for 5 years from, how we use and how we transact our money. That is basically because the platform existed, it suddenly became possible. And with 5G, I think innovations like that are very, very easy to come. So you would get extremely good, innovative applications which would come. Hence, it would be a great success in countries which are innovative, business-driven, and with technical capabilities, right? You will need to get these implemented. So India definitely is a place. I mean, obviously US or, Japan or South Korea or China, all these places have, all of them tick all these things. So I think there is no straight answer to say, there's no formula that says, if I invest this money, I'm going to get this much back in 5 years. So that is not here yet. The problem, I think, in places like India is going to be that Indian operators traditionally have not invested. Okay? There's only one operator which I have seen, at least in India, which has invested for future, which is Jio. Jio really went ahead and invested in 4G broadband when nobody really was investing in it. So they started sometime in the early 2000s and pushed the industry to this level. But Indian operators, by nature, I don't think, invest for the future as much. Now the question is, will Jio invest in, that aggressively in 5G as, as much they had done in 4G? I do not know. At least if you hear the noises in the market, I think they claim that they have developed their own technology and they would be deploying it. So possibly, Jio today, of course, is driving on, much, not just on the operator, right? They have renamed it, in some sense, they're calling it the Jio platforms, right? It's a platform now. So in that sense, they're going to roll out many things, all their retail businesses and, all the things are going to depend on this platform. So maybe there's a possibility that Jio would take that step and invest aggressively in 5G. And if Jio, I guess, invests, then other operators don't really have much choice. They have to invest as well because, otherwise it'll be competition is going to create a problem. Yeah.
So let us talk a little more about the India perspective. So when I say 5G, it's okay in the urban areas, but rural areas, still they struggle to have a better network connectivity. When you travel through these remote areas, you don't have at all a network connectivity where even you can connect over a call and speak to someone, let alone you just have your meetings virtually. So when the situation is such and we have so huge gap between these two areas, how is the government going to bridge this gap with the 5G connectivity? What is this going to take for the government? What are some of the challenges that lie for the players also?
Okay, so to an extent, what you said is right, but let me also give you a slightly different anecdote. Okay, so I was working in a company, software services company, and we used to all go to office and work from office. Work from home was really not a great practice there. This was just as the pandemic started and the lockdown happened, right? And then the lockdown happened, and it just so happened that in one of our teams, the the technical architect had to go home at that point of time, and he was in this place which is outside outskirts of, not outskirts, it's close to Mysore, but it's a forest. It's, you know, it's called the Satyamangalam forest. That's a place where you know, the famous bandit Veerappan was shot, right? The sandalwood smuggler. So he was there, and but we had, you know, we could not work without him because he was one of our key team, key part of the team. And so he actually managed to work from there for 2 months. Was it 100% without problem? No, but I would say 90% we managed. Okay, so I mean, I was very impressed with what we could do, because, you know, this was happening at a such a remote place, okay, where even power is an issue, right? Forget about bandwidth. So, but we were able to manage somehow. I mean, he did plan, and, you know, he somehow managed to get you know, things so that he could charge his, you know, phones in place and all that stuff. So I think, but we did manage to do this quite well. So it's not as bad as people think, because you know, coverage is there. It could just have been possible that, you know, he could have been sitting in an area which has no coverage. Okay, so it's not that you know, every area has coverage, right? So, but overall, in remote places also in India, there is coverage. But if you compare it with urban, you're right. I think there is, you know, a huge gap in the coverage. That, in my opinion, is not going to change vastly. Okay, it will change a bit, but not vastly, because it's very difficult to justify on a financial, you know, investment. Yeah, so because if you see, urban areas have got very little, very small geography and a lot of people, right? And a lot of people with a lot of spending power. So whereas in remote areas, there are very few people with, first of all, there are very few people, and then of the people that they are there, there are very few with money who could spend. So the ability for making money for an operator out of that space is much less. So 5G, I don't think, is not going to improve that situation drastically. It's probably going to improve a bit, because 5G as a technology is cheaper. So, you know, the investments will be faster, but the differences will remain. I don't think that difference is going to change. Okay, so the urban will improve, rural also will improve, but I think the gap is going to be there. But that's not going to change much.
Okay.
I mean, till the time, I think, you know, India goes for work from home for everybody. So I think, you know, then everybody is sitting in their houses in various parts of India and they're working, right? So then maybe, yes.
Yes. So another question, this is again pertaining to the India situation when it comes to 5G. And we will just go beyond the urban and the rural sector and take India as a whole, and just see how the government is well prepared for smoother implementation of 5G, especially looking at the recent clash the government had with some of the companies when it comes to 5G. Yeah.
See, government's preparation is basically number one in terms of providing access to spectrum, and number two, providing a policy framework and, you know, a regulatory framework which is conducive for business, right? These are two places where government has to play in telecom. First part, in terms of providing spectrum, like we discussed, spectrum is there, but all spectrum in India which are not allocated today are with defense, and I'm sure defense is using it for something or the other. So there will be a need for defense to shift to something, some other place. So it's a process. I mean, so I think, you know, even when they did 4G spectrum, the same thing happens. Okay, so it's not that this has not happened before. So there is a process, I think, but it has to happen. You know, it's a government machinery, sort of moves at its own pace. And there are different, you know, very different pieces of government machinery involved. You know, there is a telecom ministry, and there is a defense ministry, and defense ministry, I mean, each of the defense arms will have, you know, different frequencies and all this stuff. So, you know, coordinating all that together and putting it all that together, putting a auction framework together and auctioning it off, and is one part of the, you know, place where government can help. The second one about policy, I would not say too much about the current, you know, the problem with banning of the certain vendors and all that. See, I think what has happened is that the cheapest of the two vendors, or at least two of the cheapest vendors, two of the cheaper vendors have got banned, which basically means that the average prices have gone up in terms of equipment. So operators would probably have to pay a little more than what they would have paid otherwise. But otherwise, I don't think there is a technology or any other limitation. So it's a question of, how much investment was planned. And maybe with that, say, if they go with the same investment, maybe they have to spend that money more wisely because, they have to spend it on less number of equipment. So I think that would be the technology-wise, I don't really think there is a huge bottleneck at all. We have players like Cisco and Ericsson and Nokia, and there are several other new companies like Wafner, all those other companies which have new technologies. There are Indian companies as well, like Jio is saying that they have their own technology. So I think technology, I don't think, will be a bottleneck in this. Yeah, so it's basically the pricing that's probably going to be there.
Okay. So Murali, while some parts of the world are talking about implementing 6G and the other parts of the world are still trying to implement 5G and make 4G work better. So how is this gap going to be filled when it comes to the country who's still struggling with 5G? And what would be some of your suggestions for the providers and the government across the world?
I think, okay, so see, if you are in 3G and not really implemented 4G yet, right? Then it may be a good idea for you to wait and not implement 4G and just do 5G. Okay, I'm not talking about India, of course, but if you're a country which has not implemented. So, or if you're a country which is just implementing 4G today, and it's going to take another 5 years to get it done, maybe you should just go easy on 5G. So maybe you should wait for 6G to come, and it may be easier to just go with 6G directly. Because that gives a huge advantage. I mean, actually, you can see the advantage that probably a company like Reliance Jio got compared to Airtel, because they did not have any baggage of older technologies. Mm-hmm. All this older investment was really not there at all. So they just went with 4G, and they, so that's a huge platform that they can make at the current technology level. Dish in US is an example. They're going with 5G, right? So, so I think that's the thing. I would say that if you're not there yet, I think wait for 6G. Why would you want to implement 5G? Yeah.
Wait for one more generation, I can say.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to add anything apart from what we discussed, Murali?
I think that's it. I think it's a huge opportunity in terms of both the technical features that are coming out in the platform that will be developed. It's also a huge challenge in terms of putting it all together and, rolling it out and making sure that we have money to get all this in place, right? I mean, US operators are expected to spend something like $250 billion from 2020 to 2025, right? 5 years, just implementing 5G. So $250 billion is a lot of money. So India would need something similar because, we are a much larger country, actually, because in terms of number of people. So, so it's a huge investment. So I think making that possible is going to be a huge challenge. But at the same time, giving the country or the environment this platform, I think it'll enable a lot of new new innovations and new applications and all that stuff. So I think which will take us probably to a different level than, in the future.
Mm-hmm. I can see the incubation centers and the labs going virtual with 5G might be that's going to help a lot of startups and you can say the inventors in a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a huge opportunity for startups because existing companies are all loaded with problems of the current business, right? They have to run their existing business, so which is not easy. I mean, just running the existing business is not easy. So looking at something new always is a problem for, existing businesses. Startup companies are, just look at something new, innovative, and go ahead with it. So I think a lot of possibility for new startups to come, a lot of new ideas to take shape and, become large in the future. Sure. Yeah, I think so. Is it time for is a because it's a, such an open platform and you know a lot with such huge potentials and possibilities. It's definitely a ground for a lot of startup innovation.
Yes. So thank you, Murli, for your valuable time and insights into the 5G industry and the kind of suggestions you have, the potential opportunities that you just mentioned. I think that's going to be a huge insights for our audience. So we look forward to speaking to you once again, Murli.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes. So friends, here we end our conversation with Murli. And for more such insights, please visit our website, electronicslab.com, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.